here to my right, who is, and submit your comment to her with the agenda item noted on your comment card. Please be mindful that we will allow only 3 minutes for each comment in order to give everyone who would like to make a comment an opportunity to do so. Before I go to roll call, I would like to quote something that I think is very, very important as it relates to education, and it's a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And I think you all will agree with Dr. King, and it still rings true today, that the function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. Have roll call. Mrs. Perkins?
Here.
Mrs. Prophet?
Here.
Mrs. Joseph?
Here.
Ms. Butler?
Here.
And Mrs. Burgess. We have a quorum, and we will proceed with tonight's agenda. I would like to ask Mrs. Prophet if she would lead us in meditation, and Mrs. Joseph lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Amen.
Right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to welcome all of our visitors. It's good to see so many people here, and we invite you to attend all of our regular school board meetings. Your presence truly makes a difference. I would like to ask Dr. Smothers, to introduce the teachers of the year.
Good evening, everyone. Today is a great day to honor and recognize our Students of the Year as well as our Teachers of the Year. As we celebrate our students and our teachers, it is important to recognize the efforts that they have made all year to do a really good job, to operate in excellence, to perform with excellence. And today is the day that we celebrate their excellence. So with that, I want you to know that it's exciting to welcome family and friends to enjoy in this moment with everyone, celebrating our students, celebrating their work, and celebrating the families, the parents that are, you know, taking care of our children. Of course, they're parenting and rearing the kids to do this great work. Thank you for your partnership. Thank you for what you do for your children each day. And so with that, without further ado, as we have a long list to recognize today, we have Ms. Como. Will you please come up? I would like for you to introduce Baker Heights Elementary School's Student of the Year and Teacher of the Year.
Good evening, all. Good evening, good evening. I don't see my Student of the Year here as of yet, but I am going to tell you about him anyway. His name is Luis Enrique Morales. Luis is absolutely the kind of student that you would want in your class. He is helpful. He never hesitates to help another student. He is respectful. He wants to be something in science when he goes to college. He did an excellent interview when the state called him to do his interview. I was extremely, extremely proud of him. Luis is a joy. Short and sweet. Luis is a joy. So our student of the year for Baker Heights Elementary is Luis Enrique Morales. And I just talked to him today, so I don't know what happened. So he'll get his plaque no matter what. Our teacher of the year. So I said, Ms. Butler, I need you to tell me a few things about you that you would like other people to know about you. And in typical Ms. Butler fashion, Ms. Butler sent me something saying, I am a graduate of Southern University. I have been teaching over a decade. I am one of three siblings. I teach third grade ELA and social studies at Baker Heights Elementary. Yes. So I'm going to tell you what I have come to know and love about Ms. Butler. And anybody who knows me knows that I am transparent and I tell the truth. So I'm not a sugarcoat type person. So I made a list, Ms. Butler, of all the things that I think that you are. You just forgot to write it down. Ms. Butler is kind. She is soft-spoken, but in her classroom, she is a giant. She is coachable. She is even-tempered. She is compassionate. And she's also passionate about students' learning. She's reliable. And I don't know where you are today, but guess what? That's a big check.
Yes.
She is trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And the greatest compliment that I can give you about Ms. Butler is that Ms. Butler is the teacher that I would want my kids to have. I would want my grandkids to have. I would want them to have a teacher just like her. So our teacher of the year for Baker Heights Elementary School, and all the people at the school said it's overdue, Ms. Como, it's overdue, is Ms. Nicole Butler. Ms. Butler.
With Cheers. Oh, will Superintendent Schroeder come, please, and Mrs. Burgess for president, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Ms. Butler. At this time, we will also have Dr. Matthews come up to celebrate and honor her Student of the Year, Gabrielle Taylor, as well as her Teacher of the Year, Ms. Laura Lee Odell. Dr. Matthews.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dr. Shakitra Matthews, and I'm the proud principal of Park Ridge Academic Magnet School, the school where everyone shines. This evening, it gives me pleasure to do what we do on a regular basis at Park Ridge. When we say everyone shines, we mean just that. Everyone sees the big picture, has the best interests of others. Integrity leads our action. We never make excuses. We exemplify excellence. And today, we have an opportunity to show appreciation. First, I would like to honor and recognize our Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Laura O'Dell. Mrs. O'Dell is a daughter. She's a loving mother, a beautiful and loving wife to the late Mr. O'Dell. She's a grandmother, and I'm so blessed to have met her as an educator. She is a proud graduate of Southern University A&M College right here in the local Greater Baton Rouge area. And when I met Miss O'Dell, it was through her daughter, Miss House, Miss Latricia House, her pride and joy, I would say. Miss House is just as beautiful as her mother, and in associating with Miss House, I found that Miss O'Dell was willing to help us. And so in terms of speaking about those dependable qualities, those things that we face in education today for shortages and needing to fill gaps in children's teaching and learning, Miss O'Dell was the perfect fit. She didn't allow school closures due to COVID-19 stop her. She didn't allow circumstances around instruction and curricular decisions to impede our students' growth, and for that I'm grateful. Miss O'Dell has allowed our scholars in the third grade to exceed state averages with the LEAP 2025 assessment.
All right.
Yeah. Anything we ask, even being my senior, I love, respect, and admire the qualities in Miss O'Dell to support me as her principal and to also uphold the values of our school. So this evening, it gives me great pleasure to present to you all and reintroduce to most of you all Mrs. Laura O'Dell, our 2023 Teacher of the Year. Now I'd like to reintroduce our very own 2023 Scholar of the Year. Her name is Gabrielle Taylor, and in a room full of people, without saying a word, she just lights up the room. She's the type of scholar that is very focused, has a level of maturity that supersedes her age, but she still has those innocent childlike qualities, and I admire that about Gabrielle. Each month we recognize our Shining Star of the Month, our students, and our Nova Shining Star of the Month, our teachers. And if anyone is as passionate about science as I am, a Nova star is a star that gains its energy from other stars. So our teachers get their energy from the students and scholars around them. And Gabrielle is that model student. She exhibits academic excellence, qualities of citizenship, and personal development. And that is something in education we try to reinforce with our students, even through teaching and learning. Gabrielle is a very focused scholar. She has high ambitions, entrepreneurial interests, and she's a very loving sister and daughter. Her parents are so lucky to have her, but we're even lucky to have her at our very own school. And so without further ado, I'm proud to present Gabrielle Taylor, our 2023 Student of the Year.
A round of applause.
All right, at this time, we're going to continue celebrating excellence with Baker Middle School. Ms. Kane Royal, will you please come forward to introduce your Student of the Year and Teacher of the Year?
Good afternoon, everyone. Baker Middle School Student of the Year is Kelly Rice. Who is Kelly Rice? An inspiring youth born July 14, 2009, who's currently in the eighth grade at Baker Middle School, and his GPA is a 4.0. Kelly is enrolled in STEM classes at Baker Middle School, which teaches science, technology, engineering, mathematics. He's made reference to STEM classes working on his educational goals because he wants to graduate in computer science. He plans to continue his education in the city of Baker school system, as he will attend Baker High School. Upon graduation from Baker High, Mr. Rice would like to attend LSU and major in engineering. Kelly stated that he values three things in life: family, education, and religion. For him, his family has been a great support system. He stated without his education, it would nearly be impossible to achieve his success. Knowledge is power, Kelly Rice states, Baker Middle School Student of the Year. Congratulations.
Congratulations again to Kelly Terrell Rice III.
It is my pleasure to be here today to congratulate the Baker Middle School Teacher of the Year. There is something special about being recognized by your peers when your peers are very discerning professionals like teachers. This is especially true when those teachers are the City of Baker teachers. To be named an astounding, outstanding Baker Middle School teacher then is to recognize both your commitment to the profession and the calling of teaching. From the perspective of a profession, it acknowledges your commitment and expertise in pedagogy and instructional design. And most importantly, it recognizes your commitment to your peers. Some of the best professional learning in education occurs when teachers can learn from each other. This teacher is currently mentoring one of our own Baker High graduates to carry the torch. As an outstanding Baker Middle School teacher, you also exemplify the values of our calling, values that have informed our profession from its inception. The commitment to the full development of each individual student, equal opportunity for all, and a dedication to a larger common good as expressed through the many activities that you support in our school and our community. Thank you. The best gift a principal can have is a member of the faculty dedicated to the education and care of our students. As a middle school principal, I meet students at a very critical age in their lives. Our adolescents require more than core four and a few ancillaries. They require patience, understanding, support, and guidance to navigate the changes that they are going through. I consider myself, my students, and the City of Baker school system fortunate to have a teacher who checks all of those boxes. I am especially pleased to announce this year's Baker Middle School Teacher of the Year, a teacher who is intrinsically motivated to go above and beyond her job description. Before we can ask, it's already done. She is often the first to work and the second to last to leave because Mr. Williams is always the last. As a language arts teacher, the Teacher of the Year is well regarded by many peers as being a reflective teacher who seeks and welcomes feedback and proactively fosters relationships with students and families in support of student growth and achievement. It is my honor to introduce you the 2023 Baker Middle School Teacher of the Year, Ms. Makeba Scott.
Yes. Wonderful. Let's give Ms. Scott another round of applause. For the flagship of our school district, Baker High School. So at this time, I would like to ask Dr. Candace Russell to come on up and prepare to celebrate her Student of the Year, Cecia Calais, as well as her Teacher of the Year, Ms. Regina Elizabeth Bourne Slater.
Good evening. It is a pleasure as well as an honor to be able to introduce to you the Baker High School's Teacher of the Year as well as our Student of the Year. The Baker High School 2023 Teacher of the Year is very igniting, I must say. She has a way of engaging the most introverted students in the school. She teaches U.S. history, civics, and world history. She was raised in Burris, Louisiana, by her mother, Crystal Bourne Slater, her grandmother, Aubrey Ward, her late grandmother, and her aunt, Sabrina Harris. She is a devoted daughter, sister, aunt, and serves as a surrogate mother to her niece, Cadence. She's a graduate of Burris High School, where she graduated cum laude. She received a bachelor's degree in history with a minor in kinesiology from Southeastern Louisiana University. She enjoys reading at least 50 books a month, engaging in arts and crafts, taking quiet walks, cooking, and sharing snacks with her students. She has a love for history. She says it's like telling a story. She believes that learning about the past can shape our future. Her favorite scripture is Romans 15:4, for all the things that were written beforehand were written for what, for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the comfort from the scriptures, we might have hope. I must also say she is a first year teacher to Baker, to the City of Baker School District and to Baker High School. I would like to present to some and introduce to others the Baker High School 2023 Teacher of the Year, Ms. Regina Beth Bourne Slater. The Baker High School 2023 Student of the Year is studious, industrious, as well as talented. She was born in El Progreso, Euro, Honduras. She is the lovely daughter of Cecia Vignair and the late Javier Calix. She is the stepdaughter of Gerald Vignair. She is an honor student with a cumulative GPA of 3.35. She serves as the president of the art club and was awarded second place in the City of Baker School System's Martin Luther King Jr. Literary and Visual Arts Contest. She was a participant in the Black History Quiz Bowl and portrayed the civil rights activist Rosa Parks in the Baker High School's Black History Program. Her favorite color is blue. Her hobbies include knitting, cleaning, drawing, crafting, and taking care of her pets. And she loves to indulge in Honduran and Chinese foods. Her favorite scripture in the Bible is Psalm 23. Upon graduation, she plans to attend BRCC for 2 years and then transfer to LSU to major in graphic design. I would like to introduce to you the Baker High School 2023 Student of the Year, Lady Cecia Calix.
Thank you.
All right, congratulations. Again, congratulations to our 2022-23 Teachers of the Year and Students of the Year, and congratulations to the parents and the families that support this, the excellence in work. So about the teachers and the students. At this time, we'll move to our next recognition, King and Queen of Baker High School Prom.
Good evening, everyone, to the board members, superintendent, president, madam president. On April 23rd, we had our senior prom, and by the class of 2023, they voted that night on who their prom king and queen would be. And their prom king and queen, as we acknowledge them on tonight, is none other than Miss Amber Harris as prom queen. And Mr. Alec Witters, prom king. Parents, would you also come up? Parents, would you also join them?
It is truly my honor to acknowledge these two young people. I remember my days of prom, and now we have prom king and queen. How blessed we are. So, certificate of congratulations is presented to Ms. Amber Harris for being selected queen of the Baker High School prom. Congratulations. And certificate of congratulations is being presented to Mr. Alec Wooders for being selected king of the Baker High School prom. Congratulations. Alec?
Yes,
this is truly, truly what education is all about, our children, and making sure that they know how very, very appreciative we are of their accomplishments and their achievements. At this time, if you would not like to be a part of our continuing meeting, you're welcome to be dismissed, but if you would like to be a part of our meeting, you're welcome to stay. We will move further. The approval of the agenda. May I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I motion to approve the agenda. Second.
I received a motion by Mrs. Prophet and a second by Ms. Butler. The board will now vote for the approval of the agenda. Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph? Yes. Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the approval of the agenda. Each action item, the public can comment, but your comments are limited to 3 minutes. Consideration and approval of minutes from the school board meeting held April 4th, 2023, and March 14th, 2023. Are there any public comments regarding the approval of the minutes for March 14th, 2023, and April 4th, 2023?
I have a comment on the minutes for April the 4th.
Okay.
Due to time constraints, I typed up what I'd like to go on the record for April the 4th minutes. A correction needs to be made on the April 4th, 2023 Baker School Board minutes because of the statement that metal detectors have been installed in all the campuses is incorrect. I have not had the opportunity to visit all the schools, but I was able to visit Park Ridge yesterday, and the front door was locked, and the metal detector was installed. The side door was not locked, and it was partially open with no one in sight and no metal detector when I walked in. There was a person in the office, and I asked her if the principal was there. The employee did get Dr. Matthews for me. I inquired about the metal detectors not being installed at this particular door and the door being left unlocked. Dr. Matthews did advise me that they did have a metal detector at this entrance, but it had been moved out of the school to another location, but she didn't know where. I advised her it was not good and bad business not to have the entrance secured. We must be able to provide security and have safety procedures in place at all times for the children and the staff. Dr. Matthews agreed. This administration must be mindful that this issue has to be addressed immediately and is a definite priority for the future safety of the children and the staff. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? Okay. Including Mrs. Perkins' comments.
It's a correction.
A correction. Including Mrs. Perkins' correction. I would like to ask if there's a motion to approve the minutes with corrections.
Correct. So move.
Okay. May I get a second?
Second.
Okay. I've received a motion from Mrs. Perkins with correction to the minutes of April 4th and a second from
Prophet.
Mm-hmm. To approve the minutes for April 4th, 2023 and March 14th, 2023. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the approval of the minutes from school board meetings April 4th, 2023 and March 14th, 2023. We will now have consideration and acceptance of the school board monthly financial audit for 2022 and 2023.
I'm going to introduce Matthew. I'm not going to attempt to say your last name. I'm going to let you say it. Matthew's from Calder Slavin and Company, and he's going to present the 2022-2023 financial audit.
Thank you very much. My name is Matthew Margaglio. I'm a partner with Calder Slavin and Company. We have the financial audit for June 30, 2022 that's ready and available. There should have been a copy in your packet of a handout and financial statement presentation. I'll very quickly go through that information this evening for y'all. So your financial report, your annual audit, consists of four key elements. The independent auditor's report on the financial statements, the auditor's report on internal controls, compliance, and other matters, the independent auditor's report on federal awards, and the financial information. Those first three reports that I mentioned are ours as a CPA firm as your independent auditors. Those reports describe your responsibility, the school board's responsibility for the financial statements, controls, compliance, preventing and detecting fraud, and operating the school system to their best abilities. It also describes our responsibility on how we test, what we test, and what we do for a financial statement audit in order to express an opinion, which is the key fact of what we are trying to do, is state whether or not your financials are fairly presented in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles or U.S. GAAP. It talks about our responsibilities for obtaining an understanding of the operations, looking at controls and compliances that are dictated from the Federal Audit House, as well as the legislative auditors, and then being here this evening to report on the overall results of the financial statements. Our report summarized the opinion on the financial statements as an unmodified opinion that is considered a clean opinion or the best opinion you can get on those financial statements. That means that when the legislative auditor looks at them, bond agencies and grantors review those financial statements, they can rely on the completeness and accuracy of that information, and it is in accordance with GAAP, which means that it's comparable in the presentation to all other school districts within the state of Louisiana and to a degree within the country. The second report that we have is your compliance with your federal awards. This year, y'all received about $5.5 million in federal grants. Typically, the school district receives a little bit under $2 million. Most of the extra money was from COVID funding that has about a year or two left for your total award expenditures. So we expect that number to stay up for another year or two, and then it will drop off as that funding goes away. For those programs, the federal audit, the clearinghouse requires us to come in and perform specific audit procedures on some of those programs. We performed those procedures and noted that you did comply in all material respects with the requirements of the federal government. So that's considered a clean opinion on compliance for those federal awards that you received, as I said, about $5.5 million. In addition, we look at certain financial laws and regulations from the Legislative Auditor's Office in Baton Rouge, as well as obtain an understanding of the internal controls, the processes and procedures within the school district. And if we note anything significant, we bring that to the attention of the board and we issue a finding or report an issue with it. This year, we had two issues to bring to everyone's attention. The first one is related to the financial accounting, primarily over those grant funds, and the second one is related to the timing of the reporting. Because of all of that extra money that you got, extra work went into getting it balanced, getting it reconciled, getting it all organized and sorted to ensure that you got that clean compliance opinion. The school district took extra time to get that. It resulted in the first finding that we had, and because of that extra time, the state audit requires it to be due by December 31st. You asked for extra time, was granted it, but it still was late. So with y'all receiving almost $3 million of extra funding from the federal government, the school district did their due diligence and provided the best opportunities that they could, although not timely, to get everything balanced and make sure that you had compliance with those federal dollars. If you were in non-compliance with those federal dollars, there is a risk that they would have to be returned to the state and to the federal government. Those are the summaries of our reports. The fourth component of this is the financial data. That is what we consider management's financial data. That is that of the school district and management, the superintendent, business manager, and the finance department. We distinguish that because y'all are here day to day doing the operations, overseeing those financials. Our job is just to audit it. Your job is to do the daily activities of it. If we flip to, and we'll skip over to page 2 and page 3 of here as I just summarize that information. Page 4 of the handout, this is your total revenue and expenses for all of your funding, all sources, your general fund, all of your grant funds, and everything in between. And it should have a little graphic on it that looks about like this. Your total revenue from all of your sources this year was about $21.4 million. Your total expenditures was about $20 million. On that graphic, we can see that there was a substantial jump over the past couple of years, as I mentioned, due to all of that COVID funding. On the next page, page 5, we show just kind of a comparison for y'all to see the key elements of your revenue. Where are you getting your money from outside of the federal arena? Your sales tax took in about $4.9 million. Your property taxes took in about $2.6 million for the year. And your MFP funding, which is money from the state of Louisiana on a per pupil basis, is down to about $7.3 million for the fiscal year we audited. If we look at the last page of that handout, page 6, this is just your general fund activity. We like to carve this out because all of your grant money is what we call reimbursement based. As you incur the expenditures, the federal government pays you back for it, or the state government pays you back for it. you have to follow their rules. The general fund is where the catch-all is. That's where most of your money goes into, and that gives the board the best freedom to do what they choose with budgetary requirements and for the school district to spend on the students and how they get their money and how they spend all of their money. Your general fund revenues, you took in about $2.6 million in ad valorem taxes, $4.9 million in sales tax, your MFP was all in there, about $7.3 million, and your other revenue was about $300,000. That's where all of your money came from. With MFP being the largest source, this is consistent with other school districts in the state of Louisiana. Most of them range between 40 and 60% funded by MFP, which y'all fall within that range of just shy of 50%. Where did you spend your money on? Your key expenditures were the regular education programs. What that is in the classroom. That is money going straight to the students and how they're benefited, whether it's salaries and benefits, whether it's materials and supplies, but that's $4.4 million of your total expenditures going straight to the classroom. Your supporting services makes up another biggest chunk of that, of about $3.1 million. That is school administration and oversight of those funds. That's everything other than the actual student-related direct in the classroom. This is everything else to make the schools operate. You also have operations of the school district itself of about $1.3 million, transportation of about $700,000, and your other instructional of about $1.6 million make up your biggest pieces of the pie. Overall, the school district is in a decent position at the end of the year, primarily because of the COVID funding and some budgetary decisions that have been made over the past. With a clean opinion on the financial statements, as well as a clean compliance opinion, this is one of the more positive reports that I've been able to issue for my school districts that I've done over the past couple of years.
Excellent. Yay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I have
that
a question.
Was a good report.
So
I have to go to public comment
okay.
first. Are there any public comments regarding the consideration and acceptance of the City of Baker School System monthly financial audit for 2022-2023? Any public comments? Okay. Okay, Michelle Kohanda. I'm sorry, but
it's
Kohanda.
I know, you. It's no problem. I'm going to start assassinating your name, too, like you're doing right.
That's quite okay. Most people do.
I know, but your name is very easy, so nobody should. But it is Kohanda Corley for the record, parent and disabilities advocate nationally. I would love to clap with everybody else, but I can't because nobody was able to see this financial audit to actually say that it was actually clean or clear. So let's talk about transparency. When you're, according to open meeting law, all of this information was supposed to be made accessible to the public. Now, right now, as we sit here in this illegal meeting, because it's not being streamed to the public, and nobody in this public was actually able to follow through this report, you have two attorneys that's sitting here. Are we paying for two or are we paying for one? So when we talk about transparency and as it relates to money, you actually supposed to legally. And if you don't know what I'm talking about legally, any person in here, go get an attorney general's opinion on this, because this meeting is not legal, and it's not legal for you not to provide this audit for the people to see. So this is my open meeting. This is my public records request right now. And because I'm making it right now, that means I'm supposed to receive it right now. I am requesting all of the items under agenda item number E, letter E. So I'm asking for the minutes. I'm asking for this financial audit. I'm asking for the engagement letter. I'm asking for the change orders. I'm asking for the monthly financial report. I'm asking for the approval of the City of Baker School System Rights and Responsibilities Handbook. I'm asking for that handbook. I'm asking for all of the MOUs for Southern University, LSU, and Rosebud. I'm asking about the approval, all of the information dealing with this out-of-state field trip, and I am definitely asking for the information regarding this superintendent's contract. I do expect to have that information right now. And of course, since you have two attorneys present, if they don't have the information, then you need to contact the Attorney General's office now, and then you definitely need to fire them if they can't answer that, because right now I am legally supposed to get it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
I'd like to respond to Ms. Corley's comments. The entire board packet will be posted on the website tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a day late, Donald Trump, and that's a violation of open meeting law.
You can take that up with our attorneys.
Oh, no, I ain't going to take it up with them. I can take
Mrs. Corley, you had an opportunity to talk.
I'm just saying right now that it's a violation. He wasn't supposed to answer. That should have been your attorney.
Mrs. Corley, your time is up. Thank you for your comment. In the beginning, it was mentioned that the timing is 3 minutes. Any other public comments? Okay. All righty. Are there any board comments? Are there any other board comments?
You stated that we have some reports that are not timely given. So who's responsible for that?
So the report that I mentioned here is actually the audit packet.
Okay.
This was due December 31st, but in order to get everything done, you requested an extension with the legislative auditor's office. They granted it through March 31st, and it was submitted by that March 31st deadline.
Any other questions, board members?
I have a question for Mr. Matthews. I'm not sure this is going to be presented correctly, but you can explain it to me. The audit report outlines the law as it relates to agreed upon procedures. What in the report describe what are the agreed upon procedures?
The agreed upon procedures are mandated from the Legislative Auditor's Office. They stipulate exactly what has to be performed. Those procedures are required for every entity in the state of Louisiana that undergoes a financial statement audit, whether it is school boards, police juries, cities, towns, sheriffs, assessors, DAs, clerks, everyone follows the same procedures. Those procedures are listed on the Legislative Auditor's website, as well as included in the reporting packet. It is a deep, deep dive into certain key elements of the financial statements that if anything was material or significant that we came across in those elements, it would be reported as a material finding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
You're clear.
Hearing no other comments. Excuse me. Hearing no other comments from the public or any other school board member, may I get a motion for the City of Baker School System monthly financial audit for the year 2022-2023 school year, rather. May I get a motion?
I motion for the City of Baker School Board monthly financial audit for the 2022-2023 school year.
May I get a second?
Second.
Okay, I've received a first and a second, a first motion rather from Ms. Butler and a second from Mrs. Prophet for the consideration and acceptance of City of Baker School Board monthly financial audit for the 2022-2023 school year. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
No.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
No.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and acceptance of City of Baker School Board or the City of Baker School System monthly financial audit for the 2022-2023 school year. Next, we have a consideration and approval for an engagement letter for Colden, Slavin, and Company for audit services. Are there any public comments regarding the consideration and approval for the engagement letter with Colder, Slavin, and Company for audit services? Ms. Corley?
Karanda Corley, Parents Disabilities Advocate. Your microphone is not working properly. So, as it relates to this engagement letter, nobody can actually follow and say that we want to approve a letter that we haven't seen. So how exactly is the public supposed to actually give real, true, valuable input? So according to open meeting law, this information is supposed to not just be on an American Disabilities Act law. This information is not just supposed to be streamed on the Promethean board that you have here, but it's also supposed to be live streamed on TV or internet, one of your social media sites, such as YouTube, so that the public, people with disabilities, can actually attend. So, you have two attorneys. I know the lady that's sitting on the side of Ms. Joseph is not Mr. DeQuier. Mr. DeQuier is sitting right here in the front. Are we paying two attorneys to be here tonight to not give real, true, valuable input about this meeting not following open meeting law and American Disabilities Act? I also want to make sure that everyone know, every board member know, that when you make a first and a second motion to approve these items and they're not within the legal constraints, you are opening yourself up to any litigation that comes along with it. So let me give an example. You just had two people that actually gave a motion, a first and a second, for item number two. If I decide to pursue litigation against this school system for those items, that item, I can actually sue the board president, the superintendent, oh, I'm sorry, your interim, and then the two board members that actually did the first and second motion to get those items approved to actually go for a vote. So I do think that you really need to seek legal counsel. If you do not have legal counsel that is going to give you real, true, valuable input, I'm going to say it again, get a different attorney. But that also may be the problem because your person that came and spoke about this financial audit failed to say that last month, you showed that you only had about $2,000 in your monthly report. So how did you have a clean bill of health? You didn't. I'm just saying, if you're gonna tell lies, make sure that lie is something that won't get you in trouble. But right now, your lies are going to sink you to the bottom of the abyss like the Titanic. Thank you.
Are there any board member comments?
I have a question. The letter of engagement. I thought we have a contract already, so what's the purpose of the letter of engagement?
I believe the contract is up. Matthew, still here?
Yes, sir.
Yep. You can go ahead and explain what the state code is.
So in order for us to do this audit, we had an engagement letter that covered 2 years. It ended with the delivery of this report. So in order to do next year's audit, the 22-23 fiscal audit, which is end of June 30th, and the 24, which would be June 30th of 24, we need a new contract in order to provide those services.
Okay, the information that you're giving to us as a system.
Yes, ma'am.
Financially, if you were doing that audit throughout the year, would that be a different cost?
It is required by law to be as of June 30th. So we have no choice in order to comply with the legislative auditor's requirements to come in and do that at the end of the fiscal period. The school district typically takes about 3 to 4 months to close out, which is very consistent with all of the other school districts. And then we would start our procedures in the October-November time frame.
And I guess there would be another meeting or something with you all, but with you saying that the paperwork is not submitted timely and it's costing us another problem,
mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we need to just, you know what I'm saying, do something else to have the work done clearly all year long.
It's my understanding, based on the response to these findings, that the school district is working with a CPA consultant who is mm-hmm. not us. We have to be independent of these financials.
I understand.
So coming in every month and doing those checks could impair our independence and not make us objective when we come in and do that. Y'all are supposed to be working with another CPA firm to help with that monthly or quarterly balancing and reconciling. Okay. That should resolve these issues.
That's another conversation, yep. But thank you.
Ms. Joseph, we have requested for the CPA firm to come in on a more regular basis, right, just to make sure we can get it done in a timely manner.
No, they already. They already have one.
Can you speak into your mics?
I said,
ladies, speak into your mics.
We have somebody that we are paying to do a job, and it's not being done because he just said it. So now we're going to get a CPA. So that's going to be another cost.
No, one is already here. The board already have a CPA. That was on whoever the superintendent to come in, or maybe our accounting person, human resource. I have no idea how the process works, but we have one.
Who is it?
I can answer. So,
excuse me, ma'am. You are out of order.
I can answer as well.
The superintendent could handle that. He's going to answer it.
We have
Well, let's give him time.
Excuse me, ma'am. You had a chance to speak, and you're out of order. We have a finance, a business person that is employed by the school district. And just like, and that is Ms. Sydney Stewart and her team. We also have a certified accounting service, Falk and Winkler, that comes in periodically, maybe monthly or every couple of months. And what this company does, and just like any other school district that has this, we're not the only school district that has this. They come in periodically to do check and balances, of which we all need check and balances. And then it's by law that every agent, whether you're a school district or a city council or government official, you have to be audited. And that is what this company has done. So at this time, are there any other comments from board members? If there are no more comments from board members, I would like to get a motion for the approval of the engagement letter with Colden Slavin and Company for audit services. Excuse me, ladies. I need a motion. May I get a motion?
I have a question on that one. We may have to bring that back for next month's meeting because I'm not understanding it. Trying to see if it's time to renew. Is that what I'm understanding? To renew their contract start for June?
We can renew it now, but we need to renew it based on the fact that finances are constantly happening. Monies are constantly being spent, expenditures. And so we need to give them time. The longer it's delayed, the further back it allows us to be timely, so far as December to submit our audit. So they need time to work. It's just tedious work.
And so, keep in mind that the audit company is different from the CPA firm that we're talking about. Those are two different entities. The audit company would not work with us on a more consistent basis. That would be a CPA firm. My understanding is that the district has contracted with, what's the name of the CPA firm? Falk and Winkler. So my understanding is the district has contracted with Falk and Winkler for several years now, a couple of years, for a certain amount. The amount that we contract with them is not going to change, and they said that they can provide the additional services throughout the year to help us get a timely audit within the contract that we currently have with them.
Okay, so I call for the question. May I have a motion for the approval of engagement letter with Colden Slavin and Company for audit services?
I approve the letter for engagement letter with Colden Slavin and Company for audit services.
May I get a second?
A second.
Okay. I have a motion by Mrs. Pro- nonprofit, and a second from Ms. Butler to approve the engagement letter for Colden Slavin and Company for audit services. Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
No.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and acceptance of engagement letter with Colden Slavin and Company for audit services. Next agenda item is consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project. This is one of the goingest things we have in our city, and we are excited about our high school being constructed. So, Mr. Ryan, did I get your name correct?
Yes.
All right, great.
Ryan Bertuzzi, I'm with Manning, with the architects for the project. This kind of consolidates some cost increases along with some efficiencies and reductions in cost over the last couple months as they work to get out of the ground, basically, you know, start the new structure for the new building and the demolition of some of the old campus. There's been some interesting findings in the existing sites, some old septic tanks under buildings I didn't know, just for kind of example. So working with the contractor and the previous and current administration and superintendents to try to find some efficiencies and costs to offset a lot of these unforeseen conditions, it's looking at a net increase to the project of around $73,000.
Very good. Are there any public comments regarding the consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project?
No.
Ms. Corley.
Okay. So my name is Karonda Corley, Parent Disabilities Advocate Nationally. Before you do change orders and before you do a construction project, you're actually supposed to get blueprints. You're supposed to get blueprints of the actual building that you're going to demo. And then you get your permits, and then you move in, and you're supposed to have permits for every stage of it. Now, in order for you to go and do these change orders, that means that you have to go get more permits for the different changes that you're about to do. How much are those permits about to cost? Didn't hear that. I heard $73,000, but that was very vague. That was a broad number, and it was about, and it did not expound on every single thing. If permits was included, if the construction worker cost is included, if debris removal is included, nothing was stated dealing with that 73. That was extremely boring. So, in addition to that, you talked about you're paying one financial audit to do one thing and another auditor to do something else. But when you're actually being audited, it goes up under the legislative auditors.
Ms. Corley, you must stay on the agenda item.
Right, and I'm reclaiming my minutes because I'm tying it in. So, when we talk about why Baker School System is failing at having money in their account because you're below the 15% that you're legally required to have under the state, it's because you are not being transparent with the money and how it's being spent and what it's being utilized for in this school system. So I was strongly encouraged, because I will be sending my stuff in today, post this meeting, I strongly encourage that you, number one, stop this meeting because it's not following open meeting law by being accessible to the public.
Ms. Corley, Ms. Corley, you must stay on the agenda item.
I am.
No.
And I'm reclaiming my time. So you, number one, follow open meeting law, but number two, as it relates to the change order, you can't talk about that and any other thing dealing with the money if you're not following open meeting law, because you're steady in violation. So everything else that you try to pass is still going to be in violation of open meeting law. And we can talk to Jeff Landry, Attorney General for Louisiana, about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any board member comments? Board members? Okay. Hearing there are no more comments from the public, or school board members, may I get a motion for the consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project?
A motion for the consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project.
May I get a second for the approval and consideration for Baker High School construction project?
Second.
I have a first by Ms. Butler and a second by Ms. Prophet for the construction and for the consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes, but I'd like to comment. I saw the change orders in person. That's why I'm voting yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Ms. Joseph? Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for consideration and approval of change orders for Baker High School construction project. The next agenda item is consideration and acceptance of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023 and March 31st, 2023. Mrs. Stewart.
Madam President, Madam Vice President, members of the board, Acting Superintendent Stroder, Attorney DeQueer, Attorney Moten, and everyone in this assembly. First, I want to start by introducing some of my staff. Elisa Sibley, Purchasing. Portia DeQueer, Payroll. Employee benefits, special revenue funds, Rochelle Brooks, Candace Bailey, special revenue funds.
Good, thank you.
Okay, I want to move forward to our financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for period ending February 28, 2023. This is a report that was brought to the board on our last meeting. There were two questions in regards to the financial report. One was the charter school representation. In our meeting back in January, I gave you all some information, which was this information. You should have it at your desk. This information is what was given to you in January, which shows charter schools representation. This is the money that is transferred to charter schools from our MFP. We do not receive this money. The State Department transfers this money directly to those charter schools. We do not actually get it or receive it in our account. So that information is here. And on your financial report, you will see this information. It is part of the budget where you see 2023 approved budget. At the bottom, local revenue charter school transfers, $2,779,901. So the reason why it's not on the actual, our report displays what is actually received. So this is a budget to actual comparison. That amount would be recognized at our closeout. When we do our closeout report at the end of the year, then that money will be reflected there on the closeout report. Okay, so you have any questions in regards to your February financial report? Okay, another question that was brought to your attention during the last meeting was special ed camera grant. You should have this information at your desk. Special ed cameras, that grant was approved April 24th, 2023. So that information was not part of your financial report because at that particular time it was not approved. Okay, so.
You said it has been approved?
It has been approved, yes, ma'am. Okay. It was approved on April 24th.
All righty.
Okay, financial report summaries including budget to actual comparisons for period ending March 31st. 2023. Total revenues year to date $9,527,090.61. Total instructional expenditures $3,000,000. 457-229-38. Total support services, $4,305,412.64. Gives an excess of revenues over expenditures of $1,189,682.62. Page 2 is your special, your capital project, which is your construction fund. Total revenues for construction, $4,952,404.52. Total expenditures, $5,483,785.43. Page 3, special revenue funds. Year-to-date revenues, $3,482,87.60. Year-to-date expenditures, $3,867,534.60. We have receivables as of April 27, 2023, $458,572.08, which leaves an excess of $71,324.98. That concludes my financial report for period ending February 28, 2023, and March 31st, 2023. Are there any questions?
Are there any public comments regarding the consideration and approval of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023 and March 31st, 2023? Ms. Corley.
With the report dealing with the monthly financials, it would be so nice. Last meeting, y'all actually had, even though the information was too small for people to see, that wear glasses are needed in the ADA accommodations on your Promethean board, but you actually had the stuff on the Promethean board. And so now you want everybody in this public to actually follow along with a monthly financial report for you to approve dealing with their tax dollars that you cannot fully explain. So let me go ahead and explain it. Last month, the same person that just came up here and spoke said that you received the majority of your money from state. That was a bald-faced lie. You received the majority of your money from federal. Let me continue. The money for cameras in the classroom for self-contained children. I did not hear how many of those cameras you actually have installed and how much money is actually left. You stated a figure, but you did not state if that was the original amount, how many cameras have been installed, and how much money is left. So for all the rest of the people here in the public, you can go to Louisiana Wallet on LDOE's website so that you can actually find that out. Because if you're wrong and if you're misappropriating that money, I will be talking to Senator Bodie White, the Chair of Finance Appropriations, about that while session is going on, because I'm actually supposed to be in there tomorrow. In addition to that, you didn't talk about how much money is actually left in your account. Last month, you gave a report that showed it was a little bit more than $2,000. So again, when we talk about what a monthly financial report is supposed to show, you're supposed to have a real, true, itemized, detailed expenditure report. Let me explain that. That means you're supposed to show how much Title II money you're receiving, how much money you're receiving in IDEA funding, how much money you are receiving under ESSA, how much money for ESSA you put aside, because ESSA requires you to put more than 1% aside. You have to break that down for the public, because this is their tax dollars. This is their property tax dollars. And if nobody else in here is mad, I'm mad for you. Because if you're misappropriating federal funds, then you should be sitting in federal prison right along with the CEO from Celerity, which is now redesigned for misappropriation of federal funds. So what I am now telling you again, giving us access to this information tomorrow is not legal. You have to give it today. And also, according to open meeting law, you have to have this meeting recorded so that the public
Ms. Corley, your time is up. Thank you.
That's wonderful, but I need the recording for this meeting too.
You can request that in writing.
I'm requesting it under state law today, just like the Attorney General said I could. Thank you.
Are there any comments from any other school board member? No comments? Okay. Hearing no comments from the public or other school board members, may I get a motion for the consideration and approval of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023, and March 31st, 2023. May I have a motion, please?
A motion, consideration and approval of monthly financial report, including budget and to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023, and March 31st, 2023.
May I have a second?
Second.
Okay. I have a motion by Ms. Butler for the consideration and approval of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023 and March 31st, 2023. And a second by Ms. Prophet. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Butler?
Ms. Yes.
Butler? Excuse me. Mrs. Joseph?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of monthly financial report, including budget to actual comparisons for the period ending February 28, 2023, and March 31, 2023. Next, we have consideration and approval of the student handbook for the 2023 and 2024 school year. Are there any public comments? Ma'am? Yes, absolutely.
You didn't say my name.
Would you?
Karanda Corley, parent, National Disabilities Advocate. For quality assurance purposes, this meeting is supposed to be recorded. It's also supposed to be recorded under open meeting law. I would really like in that previous item that you actually tell how much money you're going to spend to get
Mrs. Corley, I need you to stick to the agenda item, please.
Oh, I am.
I'm asking you very nicely.
I am, and I'm reclaiming my time. So we're on item number 6 about this handbook. Your handbook is supposed to tell every person with a disability in the school system what their rights are and the complaint process. So let me give you an example. The students that you have that are transgender or in the LGBTQIA community, they fall up under Title IX. Your handbook is supposed to talk about Title IX and what that complaint process look like. If it does not, can't pass it, and you need to consult back with your attorney or you need to get a new one. Another thing that's supposed to be stated in your handbook is about bullying. The bullying form and what department is supposed to be submitted to. If that's not in your handbook, then you need to send it back to your attorney, get a new attorney, because your attorney did not do their job. The bullying form is also on LDOE's website, but the school systems are legally required to provide the bullying form. In addition to that, you are supposed to have an ADA compliance person, or Title II, that is supposed to make sure that your money and that those ADA complaints actually go to a real person for them to address. So let me give you an example for that. Right now, nobody that have a disability, if they are wheelchair bound, can get into this building, which is an American Disabilities Act violation. Let me go a step further. My child communicates with American Sign Language. We have English language learners in Baker. You have no translators present. Another American Disabilities Act violation. Let me go a step further. People that are deaf or hard of hearing that have hearing aids are supposed to legally have an FM antenna in here so that they can actually connect it to their hearing aid, and guess what? You don't have that either. Another ADA violation. That's all supposed to be in your handbook. Office of Civil Rights complaints. Because, you know, children with disabilities, people in the LGBTQIA community, etc., their rights get violated, and they are legally supposed to be able to file a complaint. You're supposed to have a person in your handbook that is listed that is supposed to address those complaints. It's not currently in your handbook, and it's not on your website, so that means that's another violation federally. Again, if you don't have that in your handbook, you need to consult with your attorney, Mr. DeQueer, and if he's not doing his job, you're supposed to get a new one. I can continue to go on and on about things that are not in your handbook, including that last meeting, one of your employees told y'all that it would be extremely prudent of you to wait until this legislative session ends, which will be in a few days. Oh, I can wrap it up because you had interfered. That's no problem. Who do the people get to file a complaint to for not getting that handbook?
Your time is up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody, contact attorney.
Are there any other comments from board members?
Yeah, I'd like to say something.
You know, okay.
Excuse me, I'm a disabled Korean veteran. I move kind of slow. But let me tell you something. I'm sick and tired of seeing people come in here. I believe in the freedom of speech. I believe in it. If not, so you go check my record and see who marched down there to Crest to integrate this.
Thank you, Mr. McCastle. Thank you. Hearing any other comments from board members? Any other comments? Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, hearing there are no more comments from the public or other school board members, may I get a motion for the consideration and approval of the student handbook? Excuse me, this will be a respectful meeting. When one person is talking, please be mindful to be respectful. Hearing no comments from the public or other school board members, may I get a motion for the consideration and approval of the student handbook for the 2023-2024 school year? Yes. Mr. Schroeder is going to go over the changes for the school, for the student handbook.
So most of the changes are the same from last month, and you probably also still have one more month to look at it if you want to. That's not an issue. But the changes that I've made since the last meeting when I met with the State Department is that school districts can adopt a zero-tolerance policy for fighting, but their alternative learning programs have to be approved by BSEE. And so the time frame for BSEE adopting or approving alternative learning programs has already been passed for this year. So if you'll go to page 36, the change that I'm making in the fighting policy on page 36 is beginning in the 2023-24 school year, the city of Baker is instituting a new fighting policy. Students who are fighting on campus will be referred to an alternative learning program for 30 days. The student and their parent will be required to attend a conflict resolution class at the parent's expense. Completion of this class is required before the student may return to their campus. If the student returns to school and a second fight occurs, the student will be required to attend the ALC for 60 days and attend another conflict resolution class. A third fight will be for the remainder of the semester.
Okay.
And there's one other place where I made those changes, and it was mostly just to kind of change the Alternative Learning Center to program, just to give us some flexibility on what that program looks like next year. And that's in removal from school can be one of three types, 1, 2, and 3. One is in-school suspensions are for minor offenses. If a student continues their behavior in the BMC, they may be required to finish their time in an alternative learning program. 2, the student will be required to attend an ALP. Failure to attend will count as an unexcused absence. Any out-of-school suspension over 10 days must be determined by the superintendent or his or her designee through a hearing. And under number 3, expulsion, the student will be required to attend an ALP. Failure to attend will count as an unexcused absence. Expulsions are determined by the superintendent or his designee through a hearing. So basically, the language was just changed to give us a little bit of flexibility with what the ALP program looks like next year.
Thank you, Mr. Schroeder.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we have a student handbook committee?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so they met to make these changes.
These changes were sent to them for review, yes. The board members were copied on that email as well.
Any other comments? May I get a motion for the consideration and approval of the student handbook for the 2023-2024 school year?
I make a motion of the consideration and approval of student handbook for the 2023-2024 school year.
May I get a second? Second?
I want to bring it back on the agenda for next month. I need to look over it some more, please.
Okay, I think we need to make that a sub-motion.
Okay.
And
can we table this until next month? And let me tell you why I'm saying that. I think we need to meet with our faculty and staff because it sounds punitive. And I'm all for
order. It sounds what?
I'm all for us being able to teach, but the staff needs to know, and I believe in having 2 or 3 rules in each class across the board. If we're going to be successful, let me tell you what success is. If a child walks in my class and they are able to have food, or let's use the phone, a cell phone, and I say, oh, you can use it after you finish your work. They go to Ms. Butler's class, and she says, you can't have the phone. If we don't have some type of consistency, and it may very well be that what Mr. Stroder has said, it's within that realm, but we're not doing it. If you have rule 1, 2, and 3 the same in each class, those children know when they walk in those classes, if the teachers are consistent with them, we would not have some of the problems we're having. But one teacher allowed this, another teacher allowed that. And like I say, the handbook may be stated for that. And my job in EBR for the last 10 years was child welfare and attendance. So I can say this. When you have a parent, because this goes back to the parent, he said when they get suspended, when they come back, the parent has to attend the class at their expense. What happens when they don't attend? You see what I'm saying? We want to have something in place and say, and you may say, oh, they're out for those days. Well, when a child misses 10 days a semester, they fail that semester. That's a law. So we want to make sure the parents know what we're doing. Let's because we can have community forums and say, look, this is our new handbook we've adopted, so get your students ready, because we're on track to be successful from this day forward. Let our teachers and staff know what we're doing, put everybody on the same page, and we don't have, if Johnny goes in one teacher's class and the next 5 or 7 teachers, they have the same rules, because I'm telling you, children read us better than we think. And that's why I could do it in Ms. Joseph's class, why she didn't say anything. But if everybody's doing the same thing, and that's all I'm saying, I want us to be successful.
And thank you, Mrs. Joseph. Thank you. The first motion failed for lack of a second, and now we need a sub-motion to table, or just another motion, to table this for our next meeting, and we need a second. So I need a motion to table this.
Ms. Prophet wants to table that
okay,
motion,
Ms. Prophet needs
and
to
I
make
second
a motion.
That motion to table it.
I see.
Okay, I just need you to read it for the record, what you're tabling.
Mine at first. Sub-motion is consideration and approval of the City of Baker School System Student Rights and Responsibility Handbook and Discipline Policy for 2023-2024 school year.
For the next meeting. Okay.
And I second it.
All righty. Very good. We have a motion by Mrs. Prophet to table the consideration and approval of the student handbook for the school year 2023-2024, and a second by Mrs. Perkins. Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Butler? Ms. Butler, I'm sorry. Ms. Butler? Didn't hear it.
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? Yes. Very good. Consideration and approval of MOU with Southern University for dual classes. And that is Dr. Smothers.
Good evening again. So before you is the MOU with Southern University for dual enrollment credit courses. We offer dual enrollment through our high school course selections, and it gives our students an opportunity to take classes online with a college instructor and obtain credit that they can take with them to their desired university or college. And so with that, just this year, I was actually on the agenda for this same topic in it later on for information items. But I would just like to share that this MOU is critical to ensure that our students are getting access to college and career opportunities and courses. It is critical that we continue to support and build value-added programs for our students across K-12, but specifically at the high school, where we're able to push in more supports for career and college opportunities. We currently have 18 students right now in dual enrollment with Southern University. And with those students, they're actually taking 28 courses. So 18 students are assigned to 28 courses. So that means, of course, there are some students that are taking two courses. So and those courses are college mathematics as well as freshman composition. So we are moving forward with it. It is a critical, MOU to pass so that we can continue to do this great work. And not only that, but it also aids and supports our increase in our school performance score through the NDICE strength of diploma. So that, too, is a part of our school performance score as well as our district performance score. So I would look forward to the approval of the MOU with Southern University continued. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smothers. How long have we had this relationship with Southern University for dual enrollment?
So I believe it's been several years, but I know for sure it was in place when I became a part of Baker School System. I know that it was definitely in place prior to, I'm going to say 2019, because that was a critical period when we increased overall in our dual enrollment performance. So I know for sure it's as far back as 2019, and not on the record or what have you, have to look into the specific date, but it may very well go beyond that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Smothers.
You're welcome.
Ms. Corley?
Karonda Corley, parent, National Disabilities Advocate. First and foremost, I heard the speaker before me that did the presentation, Dr. Smothers?
Yes.
Okay. She stated that this was completely 100% online. Is it listed anywhere in the memorandum of understanding on any ADA accommodations that you provide as it relates to those students with disabilities? Number two, she talked about two classes, English, freshman composition, and college mathematics. Are those remedial classes? Are those the actual first freshman level classes? There needs to be a real definitive list of classes that the children can actually take with an actual synopsis of what the class actually entails. Because when you talk about dual enrollment and getting dual credits, if a student is taking a class at Southern University and they want to transfer to ULL, McNeese, or LSU, that class credit may not be accepted depending on what that syllabus states. So you have to be very, very definitive about that. So when you talked about the MOU and you said that it is 100% online, I did not hear whether or not Chromebooks or laptops are provided to the students if they need them, or hotspots if they do not have internet access. You did not specify whether or not those classes are after class ends for the day for the students, if it's post 2:30, or if these are classes that the children are taking at 8 o'clock right before they actually have to go to another class that's actually in the building. So these are things that are supposed to be outlined in your MOU that I recommend that you actually put in if you don't have it in. And last but definitely not least, it's not an embarrassment when you bring it up. It's an embarrassment when you don't address it after you know better. So I do think that we need to do better because you are definitely being told better. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from board members? Okay. Hearing no comments, no other comments, rather, from the public or board members, may I get a motion for the MOU with Southern University for dual credit?
I motion consideration and approval of the MOU with Southern University for dual credit classes.
May I get a second? Okay. Who second?
I did.
Okay, thank you. I've received the first, a motion from Ms. Butler and a second from Ms. Perkins for the consideration and approval of MOU with Southern University for dual credit classes. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries for consideration and approval of the MOU with Southern University for dual credit classes. And dual credit is very important because when our students are taking dual credit in their high school years, they have an opportunity to graduate early and to make real good decisions about their future. So this is a good thing for our students. So post on Facebook, tell your friends that the city of Baker offers dual credits for our children. Next agenda item is consideration and approval of MOU with LSU STEM Pathways. Are there any public comments regarding this agenda item? Ms. Corley.
Karonda Corley, parent, disabilities advocate. I'm going to state again, as it relates to the MOU, if you're not providing in your MOU the American Disability Act accommodations So every child in your system can actually participate in these programs, then you're doing something illegal. Your children with disabilities is the most federally protected class, especially if they're black and brown. So I encourage you to do your MOU that actually have exceptions in there on how children with disabilities would actually be able to attend. Let me give you an example. You may have, Mr. McCaskill, I'm going to use you as an example. Don't, and please don't think I'm picking on you. I'm not. But let's say Mr. McCaskill needs to use a laptop, but Mr. McCaskill have fine and gross motor weakness and not able to actually type. So he need a touch screen device to be able to do that online course. It's supposed to be reflected in your MOU on how you're going to provide Mr. McCaskill with that accommodation for him to be able to participate in this particular program if that's something that he wanted to enroll in. And that's something that you're not including. So when you're excluding people with disabilities, because that would be an American Disabilities Accommodation for Mr. McCaskill, then that means that you are now violating his civil rights. So I want y'all to understand, and Mr. McCaskill, with all due respect, I am never fussing, but I'm not going to have backroom meetings neither. I'm going to do it in public so everybody can know, and everybody needs to know that this is violating all of the, this is violating students with disabilities' right to be able to be meaningful, productive citizens if they're not provided those accommodations according to the federal law. And when they file a lawsuit, it would be an Office of Civil Rights lawsuit as well as an American Disabilities Act lawsuit. Go and look at the Supreme Court. They just ruled on it as it related to a child not being provided staff that know American Sign Language. So I'm definitely encouraging y'all to have your attorneys to put it in. And since your interim superintendent stated that all this information will be made accessible to the public tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll be filing that in 19 JDC as well as federal if it's not in there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board member comments? Hearing no other comments from the public or other school board members, may I get a motion for the MOU with LSU STEM Pathways?
I motion in consideration and approval of the MOU with LSU STEM Pathways.
May I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Ms. Butler and a second by Mrs. Joseph for the consideration and approval of the MOU with LSU STEM and board path and LSU STEM Pathways. The board will now vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for the consideration and approval of the MOU with LSU STEM Pathways. Next agenda item is consideration and approval of MOU with Rosebud Health Care and Training, LLC, for CNA program. Are there any board comments? Okay, hearing no other comments from the public or the board, may I get a motion for it? Oh, okay.
Thank you. Rosebud.
We have a public comment by Ms. Vicki Wilburn.
Yes, I'm the owner of Rosebud.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. I'm getting to you, ma'am. Ms. Corley?
I thought you had originally said no public comment and no comment.
Karonda Corley, PAN and Disabilities Advocate. Nice to meet you, owner of Rosebud Healthcare. I would like to know if the MOU has a definitive description of how people with disabilities would be able to attend and be a participant in this program. You know, our people with disabilities, they would like to be CNAs, nurses, doctors, et cetera. They in fact, had a story on Good Morning America about an African-American woman in a wheelchair that's a nurse working in a school system. So when I talk about our people with disabilities right now, our state of Louisiana is losing over $100 billion in taxable revenue because people with disabilities are not included in these programs. And so when you fail to include our people with disabilities in the programs, you end up having our people with disabilities ending up being on the streets or sleeping under the bridge or actually having to be placed in nursing homes because their families can't do anything with them. This is problematic if we do not make sure that our memorandums of understandings actually include all individuals. In addition to that, will they receive their CNA certification? What would that process look like for a person with a disability? If that person with a disability is having to do bed changes, et cetera, what would that look like, the accommodation? And how would and where would this program actually be housed at? Is it housed in a building at the school? Is it housed in a classroom? Or will the students have to go to a different building, a separate away from the actual school? All of this is supposed to not only be included in your memorandum of understanding, but all this information is also supposed to be made public to everybody that's here today. So that information, I'm not only asking for you to be very transparent about, but I'm also asking that all this information not only be put on your website that is not in ADA compliance, but that it also be put in your handbook, because this is now a third-party contract, which also makes that third-party person liable, but it also makes the school system liable. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other school board members comment? Okay. May I get a motion for MOU with Rosebud Healthcare and Training, LLC, for CNA program?
I motion for the approval of the MOU and Rosebud Healthcare and Training, LLC, for CNA program.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Butler and a second by Ms. Joseph for the MOU for Rosebud Healthcare and Training, LLC, for CNA program. Call for the vote, Mrs. Perkins.
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet.
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph.
Yes.
Ms. Butler.
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess, yes. The motion carries for consideration and approval of MOU with Rosebud Healthcare and Training, LLC, for CNA program. Next agenda item is consideration and approval of interim superintendent and the interim superintendent contract.
You skipped number 10.
Did I skip number 10? I'm at number 10. Consideration and approval of interim superintendent.
She missed the aquarium. She missed
it. Okay.
That's the future.
All righty, I gotcha. Thank y'all. Consideration and approval of out-of-state field trip to the aquarium in Houston for Baker Heights students on May 12th, 2023. Any board members have comments or questions? Okay.
Who's here to speak on that for the Baker Heights?
She's not here.
Ms. For the students.
Are you? Okay, great. Okay. Thank you.
You need to.
My name is Colleen Ennis. I'm the music teacher at Baker Heights Elementary.
Pleasure to meet you.
I'm here to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Any board members have questions?
Will this be an all-day trip or an overnight trip?
It's just the day trip.
It's a day. Okay.
No comments. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. travel with our students.
It's a lot to do in one day going to Houston. Long day.
Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Well, excuse me, we need
no,
a motion.
You got to make a motion.
We need a motion. Yeah, we need a motion.
I so move for consideration and approval of the out-of-state field trip to the aquarium in Houston for Baker Heights students on May 12, 2023.
May I have a second? Okay. A motion was approved. A motion was made for the consideration and approval of out-of-state field trip to the aquarium in Houston for Baker Heights students on May 12, 2023 by Mrs. Perkins, and a second from Mrs. Joseph. Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
And Mrs. Burgess? Yes. Consideration and approval of interim superintendent and his and the contract. We have Ms. Corley, who would like to speak to that as well. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. You had a comment about the Baker Heights thing.
Also, Ms. Reitha Wright.
Okay. It's done. Okay. We're on agenda item number 11. And Ms. Corley, you are here to speak on agenda item 11. No, ma'am.
Karonda Corley, Parent and Disabilities Advocate Nationally. We legally, no one in this building, as far as in the public, can actually really give a real true input about a contract for an interim superintendent that they're not able to see and look at. As Mr. Schroeder stated back when I spoke on item number 2, he stated all this information will be made accessible to the public on tomorrow. If you look at your website right now, your website still reflects stuff from 2021, 2022. It does not reflect anything post that. So when I bring up problems and you're talking about, we're going to now talk about consideration and approval of a contract, we legally can't because it's not made available to the public to actually be able to read, to give real true input. And that would be us making a not sound judgment. So when I say that, let me give the example. This piece of paper lets me know every single thing that we're supposed to discuss today. But if I don't have the supporting documents, like open meeting law states, how can one give real true valuable input? It's just like asking a child to take a test, but you did not give them the book to be able to read before they actually have to be tested on the knowledge, right? So I'm saying that we're making decisions, but we're asking the public to bear with us because we're going to be transparent with them, but we're not really being transparent with the public. So when Mr. McCaskill talks about being a high taxpayer, so am I. I own properties throughout this state. I don't just own property in Baker. I own property throughout this state. And I'm a very high taxpayer. But when I want to know what's going on because my taxes is going towards it, I need to know what this contract going to look like. Is the interim supposed to be the interim for 3 months, 6 months, a year? What's the terms for terminating his contract? What are we anticipating or expecting from him in that time frame, etc.? That's supposed to be spelled out in the contract. I agree with Mr. McCaskill and anybody else. Yes, Baker School System, like many other school systems in this state, have problems. But the difference between what other school systems are doing, and this one, is they're actually giving you the actual information to be able to read and come and give solid input on the microphone. So I do think that, yes, we have to do things decent and in order, but this here is not decent and in order. So when people like me get frustrated and continue to voice their concern, it's because you can't ask me to follow rules when you're not doing it too. Thank you.
Ms. Aretha Wright.
Good evening. My name is Aretha Wright, and I'm advocating for the children of the City of Baker school system. And what I think quite a few people have hit on some good points about discipline and all these other things, and we need to take some of that into consideration along with this contract or attempting to give a contract. Last month when Mr. Stroder introduced his plan, my thoughts was, this is a pipeline to prison. Now we got a lot of community folks in here. And we're looking at the easy giveaway to other people's children. That's this community. We need to see how we can mentor and make this situation better. The things that are happening in Baker School are happening in Zachary Central. They know how to handle their situation. This is not, our children are no different. We got one of the lowest, we got the lowest enrollment, one of the lowest enrollment in the state. And the more you keep pushing students out, you're not going to have a school system. Why are we even building the high school if you're getting rid of all the students? Why? When you do, when that happens, you won't even have a school district. You know, when I stand or when I advocate for the students in this community, I get a lot of backlash. And I've been doing it for 20 years because I'm not afraid to speak up for what's right for the children. These I have community people, in fact, I have people calling the police on me to attend a board meeting. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? I've been coming to these board meetings almost ever since the school exists. Then we talk about giving Mr. Stroder a chance. I don't have a problem with giving people a chance, but we didn't give Dr. Perry a chance. And I see a bunch of people behind me and a few out in the audience. We didn't give them a chance. I don't know, he just come out of the blue. I never had much of a conversation with him, but we continue to be embarrass our children in our district. We have a lot of students that are going to that should be going to Baker, but why would they go to Baker? Because they get the community is what they give them. We talk about the village, let's build a village. Let's build a community back. Let's have conversations, meaningful conversations with the parents and the teachers and everybody involved. We can solve this. We're not doing, you're setting us 50 years backwards. And nobody in this room should want us to go back. And that's exactly what we're doing. So I'm not against Mr. Stroder. I'm just saying there are a lot of other better solutions than Mr. Stroder. And we talk about taxes. Some of the people in here making the decisions don't pay taxes. That little millage tax that we get at school, that is nothing. If you look at your homeowner's bill, that little tax is so minor that we're
Thank you, Ms. Wright. Your 3 minutes is out.
Did
Thank you
time?
So much. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. 3 minutes is never up because you're here from there tomorrow.
So. Councilwoman Rochelle Dunn.
Good evening. I just want to be kind of brief and go ahead on and time me because I'm going to stop when you tell me for the stop, but don't start until I start, okay? Yes, ma'am. I know we got a lot of critics, but at the same time, I would like to say It is time for the city of Baker to come together. It's not our decision. The people have already spoken. What they said was they wanted Ms. Burgess to be on the council, on the school board. They wanted Ms. Prophet, Ms. Perkin, Ms. Joseph, and Ms. Butler. The city that spoke. We need to put all the differences aside and work with the school board. These are new people. We have to give them a chance. We have to work with them. Just because you don't have the person up there, whether it's here at the school board or at the council, if you don't have the person on the seat, the next time election come about, work hard to get your person. But if that person, by the grace of God, is not up there, work with them. Y'all have to think about, is this what God want us to do? Is he constantly wanting us to fight and fight? Are we setting an example for our children? Are we looking for a position? Some of us come up here, we just want a position. We mad because the person that's not sitting up there does not give them the position they're looking for. They can't get it. And you got to be all right with it. Sometimes we got to step back and see what part we play in the situation. Bottom line, now, I don't know nothing about Mr. Scroller, but I'm going to say this and my time is up. 3 years ago, I went to graduation. We had 95 students graduate. Last year I went, we had 75. This year, I think we only have 7. So guess 70. So it's constantly going down with the students. I agree. But what are we going to do to work together with the people that has been elected by the community?
Thank you very much.
Now you can see me out there.
Ms. Emery. One thing I would like this assembly to do is when someone else is talking, just like you want respect when you're talking, please refrain from speaking. That's just showing basic respect, and we're talking about our children and what we want to teach them when we can't even model the very basic things of respect and being quiet. Go ahead, Ms. Emery.
So, good evening. I'm a resident here, and we also own several properties here. So, I have several questions. How do we go about finding the appropriate superintendent? What does that look like? We need somebody that's for the students and for the residents here, the parents, the staff. Because while here, I have seen some embarrassing things. And it would be embarrassing to be just as complicit by your thoughts that I've seen people driving school buses on medication with no license, no training. I've seen all type of things. Bullying steadily going on. They putting GPS on buses, no monitors. There's a lot of... Somebody just got killed in Baker just last week.
Excuse me, ma'am. You have to stay on the topic that you asked
and that's
to request.
We need the appropriate person. I'm reclaiming my time, too. We need the appropriate person that's going to be for the community, not somebody that's just going to let people run them over and just collect a check. And we are paying taxes. Everybody don't pay the same, but everybody put in something. And I'm concerned. So... I'm not saying whether Mr. Schroeder is the right or wrong person. I just think we need to do our due diligence in finding the right person.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McCassell.
I know that's right. Me too.
Thank you all for the recognition and giving me the opportunity to speak
yes, sir.
On behalf of
school board members and all the parents through here and visitors. But you know, the good book say, a house divided among itself cannot stand. He cannot be a liar. If he said it, God said it, that's it. You divide yourself, you're doomed for failure. Do I see unity on this school board? No. Do I see people who are willing to abide by the good word, love one another as I have did what? Love you. I don't see no love on them. I see people, that lady just said it, Ms. Butler, just said it. Because you didn't get who you want, you're going to poke your mouth out and take your mouth and go home. That's not right. That's not right. I don't know Mr. Schroeder. I did have a conversation with her, and I even offered him to take a rent house over there in the subdivision where I live at. But he said his wife wasn't about to leave it out. But anyway, the fact of the matter is that we need to get together and try to build this school system back like it was. And the only way we're going to do that, yes, we're going to have differences. And I don't want to take all the time. We're going to have differences. But we should put love above differences. I don't see that on this board. And I'm asking you all, because, you know, the sun is kind of going down on me, okay? And I had gotten out of, you know, I had got out of it. I had to come back when I saw what our school system was looking like. Now, whether y'all know it or not, you better get it together because the state is sitting there waiting. The state is sitting there waiting. And once the state take it, then charter come in. I'm telling you what's happening behind the political wall. So we need to try to get it together and save our school system. Please do that for me. My kids went to Baker. I know Miss. I don't know Miss Burgess. I don't take. My kids went to Baker High School, all of them, and we had a good time working together with the school board. Deb, you know, we worked together.
Castle, that's going to happen again, because now, good always triumphs.
Yeah, and that lady that got all this knowledge, find a committee to put her on. Let her work with the school. She sounds like she knows what she's talking about. So let's capture that information and put her on a committee. Let her work with the school system to bring forth what she's planning to do. So I appreciate y'all listening
to me.
And like I say, I'm going home to a big.
Thank you, sir. Hey, I would like our attorney, Mr. Brandon DeQueer, to speak to this topic before we take a motion and a second.
Will his statements be on tape? They'll be on tape.
Yes.
Good evening. So the superintendent contract is for a limited term that can't exceed 6 months, but can be shorter than that based on the selection of the new superintendent by the school board. So you have a maximum of 6 months, but could be shorter if the school board does its work with finding a new superintendent within a shorter amount of time. The contract is very basic, provides, like I said, for the 6 months. He returns back, Mr. Schroeder, to his routine position that he had prior to the services interim superintendent. The contract is necessary simply because come July 1, the superintendent, Dr. Perry, will no longer be employed with the Baker School System, and we'll need to have a superintendent in place starting July 1. So this is just simply brought before the board at this point to make sure that we have continuity moving forward beginning in the summer and into July. I'd be happy to answer any questions about it.
Board members, any questions for Mr. DeQueer?
No, I just have a statement. I found it. I was looking for it again, but that's the shortest contract I've ever seen.
Well, it's short because he's not intended to be your permanent superintendent unless he should apply to be your permanent superintendent. It's there as a placeholder because it's titled interim.
Interim.
To keep you covered in the gap while you look for a new superintendent. It spells out very basic duties which he will perform as the CEO that comport with policy, pays him a regular wage for it, and at said point when you guys have a new superintendent, he's no longer serving as your interim superintendent. So it's not one that would require a lot of robust language to solve.
Any other board members?
No, Ms. McCullough.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear him.
No.
Yes, sir. I believe that
this is under informational items.
On the agenda for
yes.
The school board president to address.
Yes.
This is particularly as it relates to the contract.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you, Mr. DeQueer.
No problem.
Any school board members with any other comments? Okay, I would like
I have one.
Oh, go ahead.
I can't speak for anyone else on this board, but I can just speak for myself. When I walked the street campaigning in my district, everyone basically told me they're looking for a change. That's why their kids are going to charter schools, because of Baker schools. Now, some people may not like it, but that's what they told me, because I walked the streets of my district, District 4. And it doesn't surprise me of some people that say certain things about a superintendent they haven't even spoken with or more or less have a meeting with him. We all need a change everywhere. But we're trying to get kids back in the school system where they belong. And some people that's against Mr. Schroeder or whoever we might put wouldn't even have their kids in the school system. Some of them took their kids out, sent them elsewhere. But then they want to see the best for Baker? How can you say that? It wasn't good enough for your child. You took him out. But you want the best for Baker. I'm talking to any. I didn't. You're putting yourself in. Because I'm
Excuse
just saying.
Me.
No, I'm
Excuse
just saying.
Me. Remember the basic rule.
I'm
Show
talking.
Respect.
I didn't say anyone in particular. But if that's what fits you, I'm just saying. But it's more people than you in here, Ms. Retha, right, that have other people. Yes, I did. I call your name. I'm saying I was not talking directly to you. But I'm saying people that talk about changing Baker or want this and that don't have kids coming to Baker system. They have them going elsewhere. But they want to see the best for Baker. That's what upsets me. We just got on this board in January. And all we hear is just fussing among one another. You don't know me. You might have heard of me in the streets, but you don't know me personally. But those are my feelings. We, on this board, each had a resume on Dr. Schroeder's. We had a resume. We had a chance to go through it. And as I recall, it's on the board to decide the superintendent. Because we're going to do what's best for the community. And that's what we're here for, to do the best for this community. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Butler. Any other board member comments before we vote? Okay, I would like a motion for the consider. Thank you, Mr. DeQueer. A motion for the consideration and approval of interim superintendent and contract. Need a motion.
I make a motion for the consideration and approval of interim superintendent and contract.
I second.
Call for the vote. Mrs. Perkins?
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
No.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? Yes. The motion carries for consideration and approval of the interim superintendent and superintendent contract. Congratulations. Thank you. Okay, we have informational items. Mr. Schroeder.
So you have the personnel report in your board packet. If you have any questions about that report, feel free to visit with me outside of the board meeting. Any questions on it for now?
On the report personnel, okay.
Any questions, board members?
No.
Okay. All righty. Moving forward, Dr. Smothers will give an explanation for CLEP. She will tell you what that means, and of course, just a little bit more insight into dual enrollment. CLEP is something that I've spoken with Dr. Smothers on, mm-hmm. because it will add value to our students. And as board members, that's what we want to do, yeah. Add value to our students, where our students can have the best educational opportunities available. Mm-hmm. And please, we are available to speak with you. We're available to talk, because all of you are here, and that shows that you're concerned. Mm-hmm. Dr. Smothers.
Yes, ma'am. So it is always an honor to talk about the excellence in the City of Baker school system. And I believe today, I just want to make sure, you know, that we just continue to reflect on how wonderful the evening has been to celebrate our Teachers of the Year and Students of the Year in the great work that they're doing. So in this, on this item, informational item, it is to share with you all that we have began the process of getting students engaged and participating in CLEP. And CLEP is a college-level examination program. So it's an exam that students are able to take to get college credit. Now, typically, students who have knowledge, strong knowledge in these particular areas, are those that would take those, you know, those particular exams. The areas of the exams, there's 34 CLEP exams, and they're across brand, across various core areas. Business is an area where you may have accounting or what have you. Composition and literature, history and social sciences, mathematics, science and mathematics, as well as world languages. Now, the benefits of CLEP is that, one, as Mrs. Burgess said, it adds value to our high school course selections, as well as impact our district and school performance score for students and schools. It also saves tuition dollars, because if, when students are in high school and they are passing and obtaining those credits for college, then they don't have to be in college as long, because if they're able to go to college with 12, you know, college credits, or with 20 college credits based off of CLEP and dual enrollment, that's even better for our students. So as we prepare them for the pathways of college and career, these are the things that we think about. You can typically get 3 or more college credit depending on the actual exam. Now at Baker High School, we will in this spring, we will have 3 students taking the CLEP Spanish Level 1. In fact, our student of the year for Baker High School, Cecia, will be one of those students. So we are excited that, one, the voucher email came in today, that we're cleared for our vouchers, and we are ready to begin the registration process. So with that exam, the Spanish Level 1 students, our 3 students, will get 6 college credits. And so that is phenomenal. We are excited about it. We want to continue to build CLEP preparation for our students and make sure that we have other areas to introduce to students as well. They've received their study guides. They have been studying, and we're ready to move forward. In terms of our dual enrollment, thank you. That MOU was passed today, and I'm excited about that to continue the work. We are, again, we have 18 students enrolled in dual enrollment. And not only that, but they're doing really well. And this, too, impacts our district and school performance score, as well as prepare our students, most importantly, for college and career. Any questions? Oh, no questions. This is an informational item. Thank you very much. Okay, next we have just some
hold on. So I just wanted to say before you start talking about it, because the board's had this information since Friday, so I think they've had a chance to look over it. So I want to say that typically the state audits federal programs. They audit all of our special education programs once a year, usually in the spring of the year. Rarely have I ever been in a district where there wasn't some sort of corrective action that takes place, because trying to follow all of those rules and regulations is almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So part of what they do is they review the programs. They come back. They tell you areas that need to be addressed. You submit a corrective action plan to the state. And so both federal programs as well as IDEA have submitted their corrective action plans to the state. You have both of those corrective action plans in the board packet. Both corrective action plans have been accepted by the state, I believe, correct?
I have not heard back on this one, the CLSD and SSE.
Okay, so we're still waiting to hear back from the state.
Yeah.
The IDEAs, it was accepted. I saw that acceptance from the state. So basically, if the board has any questions on it, Ms. Bailey and Ms. Hill are here to address those questions.
Okay, so let me be the first to say, with this, with the CLSD, that is the Comprehensive Literacy State Development grant money, and with those funds, we had funds in birth to five, six through eight, and nine through 12, and it was quite a bit of money considering it was just for those particular grade levels. And in the CLSD, we had one finding, and the one finding was actually with the portion that had the most money, and that was 9 through 12. And in the CLSD 9 through 12, what we found was it said like timely reimbursements for grant monies. With that one, we had a little difficulty with drawing down all of the money, because it was geared toward 9th through 12th grade for PD and for actual literacy materials to be ordered. So basically 9 through 12 deals with the Louisiana guidebooks. So a lot of the PDs for guidebooks was already covered with the LDOE that we paid through our NIET program. So a lot of that we are drawing down now, but one of the corrective action steps that I put in place for the upcoming school year is to make sure that myself, along with my budget specialist, Ms. Brooks, that we attempt to draw down at least half of our allocations by October. So actually putting a time frame on ourselves to draw down allocations like in a timely manner in terms of by quarters. So we're trying to break it down by quarters, that we at least want to have half of that money drawn down by a particular quarter, which will help keep us on track, because we have, you know, this was a time frame that we had more money than we probably would ever see in terms of federal money, because you have all the ESSER money, you have all of your title money, and all of the things that goes within the title funds. So some things overlap. So we may have claimed it in one pot of money and didn't claim it in another pot of money. So just making sure we stay up front with how often we draw down the money, so we can make sure that we draw it down in a timely manner. So it was one finding for CLSD. And then for Title IV is your SSAE. And there were a total of five findings, which were not bad, because if you read the actual findings, it was little errors in such as something that we put on the requisition page on the cover sheet. We said that we bought music equipment,
and we used one of the cover sheets from another requisition and didn't take out the part that it was for PBIS incentive. So, of course, they questioned. They were like, so you're just giving away the music equipment? But no, that was not the case. It was a matter of the music equipment was used in the music class, but it had the word PBIS incentive, even though it was used as a PBIS incentive for, you know, when the kids have celebrations, whatever, they were to use that musical equipment, but it was not something that they took home that was free for like, as a gift. So those were those findings on there. So just making sure that we have our documentation as tight as possible, and I can appreciate the, this was a desk review for us and not an on-site review. Was just a desk review, so getting that feedback and getting it early on, because this was for the 22-23 school year, so of course we are still drawing that money down, so we have time to make our corrections, and that's why we had to submit a corrective action plan for those things. Any questions?
Any questions, board members?
No, okay. I have a comment.
Yes, ma'am.
That was my question. When I saw the section where initially we had one thing that we had, and then I saw where they gigged us because, well, made you aware,
yes,
of the fact about the musical instrument.
Yes, ma'am.
So we will get a copy of the final report, right?
Yes, this is basically the final report, and they just have to send back something saying that it was approved or not approved.
Okay.
Yes.
So you'll let us know when.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right.
Very
Thank
much.
You.
Ms. Hill.
Good evening. I'm Tammy Hill, ESS supervisor. And as Mr. Stroder stated, we were audited, an on-site audit in February. We had to submit our action plan on April 20th. It was approved on April 27th. There were 9 items to be corrected, mostly consisting of professional development for our teachers, and making sure that we train our service-related providers on uniformly documenting their logs. And we have already started on the plan. We have already corrected, I believe, 3 items already on the plan. We have until February of 2024. And I would just like to commend the ESS department. We have Ms. Beelan, who is the SIRS specialist, Ms. McLean, IEP facilitator. We have Ms. Dr. Hudson, our educational diagnostician, and of course we have our nurse, Nurse Miller, here tonight. And I'd like to commend them on the hard work that has been put forth with this plan.
Very good. Any questions, board members? Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hill. The next discussion item or informational item, no votes or public commentary. Permanent Baker School Board Superintendent discussion. Board members, any comments toward that?
I would like to make a statement in reference to the permanent Baker High School Superintendent. I think that we need to start a superintendent search immediately. It's a lot of people. I have been approached by numerous people, and I was really shocked at the people who are interested in coming to the city of Baker school system to try to make a difference. I know in the past, I didn't discuss it, but one of my main reasons for running for school board is because the city of Baker has a dysfunctional and failing school system. Like I said, we're at rock bottom, an F, and we can only go up, but with the right person, and I know it can be turned around, but we are divided. But you have to remember why we're divided. We're people, we're human, everybody's different, and I'm gonna leave you with this thought. Character, integrity, and leadership. Everybody is not a leader. Everyone does not have character, and everyone does not have integrity. And keep in mind that is something that you cannot go to the store and buy. But I did bring a sample because I read the paper every day, and I know the city of Zachary tonight is picking a school board superintendent, and Iberville Parish, the deadline is May 6th for them to have all their applications in, and I think we need to go ahead and start advertising immediately for a permanent school board superintendent, and I bought a sample out of the paper because this is basically the sample that they have been using. But that's my comment.
Any other comments, school board members?
We do have to hire someone to help us do the search, correct? Because none of us know anything about hiring a superintendent. So I know we need to get the right consultant in order.
Like I said, that we do not have to have anyone, a consultant or anyone, to do a superintendent search. The board can do that. Go ahead.
In the past, this board has elected to use a search consultant, which is what we did for the last superintendent search.
And I agree with you. In the past, this is a future in the present.
So it is up to the board to decide whether or not it wants to retain a consultant to help vet applications, make the application or the media, not the media, but the announcement made known, not just within the local area of EBR and the state, but sometimes consultants will have access to other journals and mediums in which they can produce and put your announcement out there. So it's just a matter of what is the pleasure of the school board. To further answer the question, that it is not an absolute requirement that you use a search consultant. However, we will need to prepare the staff to understand the levels of information that they will be receiving, and also the time intervals in which these things will need to take place, such that the board will be able to be informed as the process unfolds.
Okay. Thank you. As a board member, I definitely believe that we should hire a consultant, simply because, I mean, if we can find someone reasonable and know that this board is someone that wants to make sure that every dollar is spent toward good. So hiring a consultant would be a great thing to do, simply because I was a part of the hiring of the consultant, of a consultant in 2019. And that took a lot of burden off our staff so that they can do their job that they were hired to do, as well as board members. And then to have someone else's expertise in this area made it a little bit more easy. And where we were not necessarily partial to one applicant or another applicant, it kind of put a liaison between us when we hired a consultant. That's what it's always done. And I know this is a new day, and we want to do things differently. But hiring a consultant, that's who they are. That's what they do. And another thing I wanted to address as well, at the beginning of this board meeting, we honored teachers and students who were top-notch, exemplary in who they are and what they do. We honored students. And I know that academically, we do not want to be at the bottom of the totem pole. We don't want that. That's where we are, but we don't want it. And so having said that, I mentor 17 young ladies in the city of Baker. I've been doing it for 7 years. Four of my students children that I mentor go to Baker schools. They're all seniors, and they're getting ready to graduate. These girls are 4-point average and above. But not only that, academics does not necessarily show forth the child's character and who they are. And so those are the things that as a family, we are where Baker is concerned, a school district, we are a family. And we have to act like a family. We have to add value to our students. So therefore, I just believe that academics is important, super important. It's probably more than 70%. But it's not the only thing that a child can show forth and say, I'm a success as a child. I mean, you saw it tonight before your very eyes, these students that were Student of the Year and our great teachers that we have, Teacher of the Year. So therefore, let's talk about that sometimes, some of the good things about who we are as a district. School board members, any other comments? We can't, I'm sorry, sir, we can't have public comment on this.
No, it's not a comment.
Thank you.
We have a question
for you. Okay. Can you ask him afterwards? We can't do that. But thank you very much, sir. Okay, the next, any other comments, board members? Okay. One other thing.
I just have to say I disagree with what you just said.
Sure.
Totally.
You have that right?
I know.
4-H, Mr. Schroeder.
Yes, you want me to talk about it? You want to talk about it?
Go ahead.
So Ms. Burgess and I met with 4-H, representatives from 4-H, about a week and a half ago, I think it was. Mm-hmm. About a week and a half ago. We're currently working. We'd like to try to pilot a science 4-H program. So 4-H has been looking for a school district to actually pilot a science program, after-school 4-H program. We have a teacher that's interested at the high school, so I think we're going to sit down with 4-H and see if we can't pilot a 4-H program for science. And that includes Baker students, but it also is open to students beyond Baker. So we're excited about the possibility that we might have to partner with 4-H,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to be looking at some more opportunities coming up in the future.
Once again, adding value to what we have to offer as a school district to our children so that they can have lots of options for things that they want to do. Announcements. The date of the next meeting is June 6th, 2023 at 6 p.m. Mr. Schroeder, Baker School Bus Transportation.
Yes, so we're currently, and Mr. Jones is here, he'd probably give a bit quicker update than I can on it, but we're currently working with the vendor where we bought the GPS units to get those, to get the software for the routes to the vendor so they can enter the routes in the system. We're hoping to have it before the end of this year, but realistically it's probably going to be the start of next year where we can introduce the application to parents and get them to start using that to track where the buses are. Correct? Do you have anything to...
The routes are currently in the busware software already. So if there are any parents that are interested in helping us pilot the program, they can contact myself or Ms. Terry Johnson and provide us with their student's bus number and their school that the student attends. And we can have them set up via their email or their cell phone number, where they'll be able to go into the app. The app will allow them to be able to see when the bus is coming to pick their student up and when the bus is dropping their student off.
Very good.
And it will be in full effect during STEMcation.
Excellent. Very good.
I do have a question in reference to the buses. Are they functioning properly now? I know in the beginning they had a lot of serious issues with the transportation department.
Ms. Terry can answer that.
the microphone? Would you get to the microphone,
yes,
Ms. Jones?
I can.
Sorry.
Hi, I'm Terry Johnson, Transportation Manager for the Baker School System. At the beginning of the year, we did have problems with hiring drivers and keeping drivers. As of last week, we hired the new driver, so my buses have someone on them. So we're fully staffed, and hopefully we can carry this till the end of the school year, and when we come back for the new school year, we'll be fully staffed, ready to roll. As far as the GPS system, Mr. Brandon did call me today. They were actually, while we were driving the PM route, they were actually doing the bus wear, tracking the buses to know where we drive at. So when they call for us for the information, we can give them that and they can download it. But we are staffed now. We really are.
Okay, and one last question. Do you have any reserve drivers at this time?
No, ma'am. Not at this time. No, ma'am.
Thank you.
A couple other things under my report. The board's going to need to set a workshop date for millage. Is there a date that works best for you guys that's coming up within the next few weeks?
Let's check the calendar.
While you're looking at that, I'm gonna let you look at that, and I'm gonna come back to it. I wanted Mr. Torrey Williams to just kind of talk about the email that I sent out today on what he's done with his team at Baker Middle School.
Good evening. I'm Torrey Williams, the band teacher and LSU STEM Pathways teacher at Baker Middle School. And I'm proud to announce that our seventh grade esports team won the time zone, central time zone, and the national championship for the Vanta Middle School Fortnite League. And we just found that out on yesterday. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Very good. All right, board members, we have a one date suggested, May 27th. Any other suggestions or options for a work session to discuss the millage?
Is that the only thing we can discuss? Can we get a timeline for a consultant for the upcoming permanent superintendent, please?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can have a workshop on.
But that's what I'm saying. If we're going to have one on the millage, we should be able to discuss
that
also.
Yes,
we might also include a budget workshop on that as well. Yes, okay. Maybe, Ms. Stewart. Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't require a vote. Doesn't require. Yeah, we can circulate some dates through email.
If you'll just kind of email me and let me know what dates you have available, we'll try to get a workshop set.
Sounds good. Just wanted to put that on your mind.
We're going to do all that together on the 27th?
On a date that, yeah, we come up with over the next couple of
so
days.
What's the 27th?
That'll work? Okay.
Mm-hmm. On the 20th, let me read off.
Yeah. 27th.
That's so late.
We'll send some information out over the next couple of days. Adjournment. May I get a motion for adjournment of this meeting? I can't hear you. So.
I so move that we adjourn.
Second. We have a motion by Mrs. Joseph for adjournment and a second by Ms. Butler. Mrs. Perkins? Adjournment.
Yes.
Mrs. Prophet?
Yes.
Mrs. Joseph?
Yes.
Ms. Butler?
Yes.
Mrs. Burgess? This meeting is adjourned.
And it shouldn't take long.
That was the longest meeting I have ever.
How are you?
No, I'm just saying, I'm going to do it.